Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there, whether they're single, married, all the mothers, the foundations of each of their families. This is your day, and happy Mother's Day to all of you. I am the Master, a.k.a. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And I want to welcome you to the show today. We are all going to be talking about some boxing, an exciting match that took place last night. Going to be talking about some NFL. Going to be talking about the NBA playoffs. There were some wild events that took place yesterday, and we're going to talk about it. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. The place to be if you want to talk to JT. And you know, I hate to say it, this is kind of corny, but I'm going to say it anyway. Notice me. Got a chat room sitting out there for you, too. You can jump in that chat room and ask a question, make a statement or comment in that chat room. And if it's deemed, and I'm the judge, if it's deemed worthy of me talking about it on the air, I will do that. Absolutely. All right. Without further ado, let's get into this show. We got an hour sitting here, and hopefully you enjoy it on this, like I said, fine Mother's Day. Around the country, around the world, I should say. And I have to give a shout out to my son, Justin, who happens to be 33 years today. He's been on this earth. He came into the world 33 years ago. And my son Justin's birthday is today. Happy birthday, my son Justin. All right. Let's also think about this. How many times has it been hyped up thinking we're going to get a hell of a fight? It's not that. Well, you've heard this before, and I'm saying it again. Styles make fights. And the two participants that jumped into the ring, Canelo Alvarez and James Kirkland, style was full speed ahead, don't back up, throw as many punches as you possibly can, and hopefully one of them will put you down. For those who thought that this fight was going to go 12 rounds, you're sadly mistaken. These are two heavy punchers in the middleweight division that you knew someone was going down for the count. Whether it was a TKO or a complete KO, it was going to happen. Who was it going to be? Kirkland, who hadn't fought in over a year? Or was it going to be Canelo? moving closer to maybe a Cotto fight. Well, in the first round, right off the bat, both these guys stood. You didn't have to worry about finding them. You didn't have to worry about who's going to play the better of the defensive type of fight. All this was all offense. All offense, meaning that what you see, and you didn't have to go far to see it, is what you get. Meaning you're going to get punched if you didn't throw any punches. Even if you did, you were going to get punched. These guys, and I'm telling you, if you watched this fight, and you should have, because it was, it only lasted little less than three rounds. It went into the third round with 219 left in the, with 219 spent in the third round. It was stopped. Excuse me. But I can, you can best believe that you got your money's worth for as long as it happened. Like I said, coming out of the first round, these guys were throwing haymakers one after the other after the other, with eventually James Kirkland being knocked down for standing eight count. Until they resume the fight. Alvarez blasted his way into a middleweight world championship shot by annihilating James Kirkland. Most of the crowd was cheering for, and it was a big crowd, 31,588 cheering for Alvarez at the first boxing card in stadium history in Houston, Mexico's popular, and he backs down from no one because he's been an active fighter. And this was a free fight, free viewing that you could watch on HBO. And I know boxing fans, I should have said not boxing fans. I said a lot of boxing fans, because of the supposed disappointment of last weekend's fight and the lack of action or lack of anticipated action from last weekend's fight. Boxing fans were anxious to get a action-filled fight for as long as it lasted. Well, it lasted a little less than three rounds. Alvarez said he was happy with the win, quite naturally. And the result was what he expected, quite naturally, because two big punchers, it's highly unlikely. I've seen it happen with two big punchers, each knocking each other down throughout the fight and going a distance. But for the most part, when you have two guys that throw haymakers like they do, and there were some haymakers thrown on both sides, trust me, on this fight. Talking about guys, I'm wincing, watching these guys throw and hit shots, flush on chins, flush on the jaw, and these guys just keep on coming. I got a caller in here. I know who it is. I know he wants to talk about this boxing match. I know he was excited and anxious to see this boxing match, just like I was. I'm going to bring Mikal in here, and we're going to talk a little bit. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
What's up, man? Did you see that knockout, man? That was beautiful.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Wow.
I'm kind of sad for that dude, because, Ann Wolf is his trainer. You remember her?
Yeah.
She was his trainer, and she didn't train him on this fight, man. And it was really messed up watching him on the 24. I mean, I really knew just watching that 24 that he was gonna get his ass whooped. I mean, because watching him train, don't get me wrong, he was fit. He was fit, but the training, man, he looked like he was training to be a linebacker or something. He had a strength and conditioning coach from a football team out there training him. I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah, they had mentioned on the announcer had mentioned that he had that type of trainer. I don't understand what the reason for that was, but you're right. He should have had his normal trainer. He probably I don't know if the result would have been different, because let me tell you, man, I'm watching this and I know you heard me. I'm wincing at the shots these guys are taking.
Yeah.
And the last shot he took, it turned him around. It literally turned him around, like a top.
Yes, sir.
Before he went down. I didn't realize how much of a chin both these guys have, because they were taking some shots. I'm talking about from the beginning. Both of them came at each other and no one was backing down. Nobody was giving any quarter. They were saying, give me your best shot, because I'm coming at you, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Young and Canelo is nice like that. You don't want to sit there and trade with him. I mean, because he is the classic boxer puncher. You know what I'm saying? But he prefer to punch. He want to mix it up with you. But if you get in there and box, you better have some boxing skills, because he going to catch you. You know what? I'm beginning to like that youngin. I really am. I'm really beginning to like him.
Well, let me ask you. Let me tell you something, man. I didn't realize Cotto had a chin like that, because I'm telling you, Kirk. You saw it. Kirkland was landing some shots on his chin, and looked like he didn't even flinch. He just kept on coming. And that's the thing about these Hispanic fighters, especially Mexican fighters. We always talked about this.
Oh yeah,
you heard me talk about it before. These guys aren't dancers. These guys sit right in front of you and come at you. And then if you hit them, a lot of them have a chin, but they keep on coming. A true boxer like Floyd Mayweather or someone of that ilk has a better shot, because they are a good defensive fighters and they have feet and they can move around. But if you stand in front of somebody like Canelo Alvarez, you're going to get knocked out. And exactly what happened with Kirkland. It's unfortunate. If he was against another fighter other than Alvarez, I think he would have had a better shot. But because these two boxers had the same style, and style makes fights, man. And you knew
style makes fights.
And you knew it was just a matter of time. One of these guys was going down because of the haymakers they were throwing. And unfortunately, Kirkland got tagged and he went down like a spinning top. So now that's looking like he may Alvarez is looking for Cotto. What's your thoughts on that?
That'd be a good fight. Cotto is in a very bad position, you know. This is like, you know, I respect Cotto because he's fought everyone. He's taken all comers. Right. And kind of like now is kind of like the time for him to get his money for real, because it's almost time for him to go ahead and check out. So, I mean, any like fighters that he take, really, I wouldn't be mad at. And really, the boxing public shouldn't be mad at, but, you know, there's a lot of pressure for him to fight Canelo and that other boy, GGG Golovkin, either one of them.
Right.
You know, and I think it's going to be a good fight, but Canelo going to take that slim. That's it. He's taking that. I want to see this boy Canelo go up against Golovkin. That's what I want to see. That will be one hell of a fight.
Okay. Well, it looks like that from what I'm reading here that Canelo and Cotto have already signed a term sheet for the bout.
Yeah, they have. Cotto got to beat this fighter that he got coming up.
Yeah, he's feed spotting Danny Gill in June in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, which is supposedly now I'm not familiar with the Daniel Gill or Gilly or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that guy is a middleweight. He's a classic middleweight. He's gonna give Cotto some problems,
right.
Which is why Cotto and Cotto's camp had him drained down. Meaning, they want him to come in at 157. So the weight is 157, which is, you know, strange because Cotto is the middleweight champion, which is 160. But they're gonna have this guy come down at 157 because they're concerned. They're concerned with all of his experience and being at middleweight, and he's going to give Cotto a problem there. But I don't know. It's going to be it's not lightweight. It's in front of Cotto. No lightweight in front of him.
Okay, so I guess they think they can gain an advantage having this guy drain down to a lighter weight. Is that what the idea behind that is? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the move. That's what they do when they get them to come down to these catch weights, you know. But still, the guy's going to be able to rehydrate by the next day, so he should be fine. So it's still going to be a struggle for Cotto. The guy just won't be able to come in that ring at about 175 or something like that, you know.
Right.
He definitely will probably be able to hydrate up to probably like 168 or something like that. Or maybe even 170, but he won't be at 175. I tell you that.
Right. So Kirkland gets knocked out. What's the next move for Kirkland here? What's your thoughts on that?
Man, I'm telling you, I feel real bad for this dude because he done got dropped a couple times. You know, he done got locked up. You know, and then the other times that he lost. You know, Ann Wolf wasn't in his corner. Then he got back with Ann Wolf, you know, and came back and made, you know, got his name back up for this Canelo fight. And then Canelo and them picked him to fight this fight. And I was just, I was really looking forward to this fight until I watched the 24/7 and Ann Wolf wasn't there. And I'm just like, come on, son. See, now, I mean, because what it does is it sets up a built-in excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I do not feel like we got that man's best last night. He probably thinks so, but I know we didn't. You know what I'm saying? Now mind you, it probably wouldn't have made a difference, but we don't know. We don't know. I probably still would have picked Canelo to win, but I don't know, man. I don't know. So as far as him in his future, it's really a toss-up. I mean, because he was on the comeback, you know, after, you know, serving his time and whatnot. You know, it's really sad because, you know, he one of them dudes that you kind of want to root for. But he makes bad decisions, man. He consistently makes bad decisions in life and in the ring and stuff like that. And you can clearly see it. It's right. It's all there. If you get a chance to check out the 24, check the 24, and you'll see it. You'll see it. It's like one of these dudes is just like, you know the lights are on there, right? You know the hunger is there, but you know you just keep doing dumb stuff. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't understand this whole Ann Wolf thing, man. I really didn't, and he wouldn't even explain it. I mean, it's. Jerry, it was so clear when you're watching him train, you'd be like, yo, is he trying to be a linebacker or is he trying to be a boxer? What?
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, he was doing all the drills that like, you know, football players do. The little thing with the ropes and, you know, they was all in the water. He was all in the water and whatnot. I was like, man, this fool doing the RG3 stuff. I mean, he literally was doing some of the same stuff that my quarterback for the Redskins do.
Wow. See, I didn't realize that. Well, let me ask you something.
Check that 24, man.
Let me ask you, do you think And it, and it's hindsight 2020 now, but do you think that that affected or had a negative effect on how he performed in the ring? Because he seemed like he was doing his thing in the ring. He just got caught.
I don't think that he was not in shape. I think he was very well conditioned, but I don't think he was conditioned for a fight. You know, it's apples to oranges, really. It's apples to oranges, really. You know what I mean? Ann Wolf said it best. She said it in the 24/7. She was like, you know, they're going to get him conditioned, right, to fight, but are you going, let me see if you can get him to fight type of thing. You know, can you get him mentally ready? Because like, all those things play a part. They all have to go together, your mental and your physical. You know what I'm saying? They all got to go together. And off the break, I could see that strengthening and conditioning was off. It didn't pass the eye test, right? It really didn't. So, yeah, I think it played a factor.
Okay. From what I understand, I'm reading an article now. She was at the fight. She watched the fight. And it looks like quite naturally she was upset that he lost. I have to look a bit more into this, man, to find out exactly what the heck happened here, and why she wasn't training him, and why he let himself get trained like a football player versus a boxer getting ready for a fight. He got in shape. Let me put it that way, just like you said. But did he get into the type of shape that he needed to box Canelo? Like hindsight's 2020, and you never know if Ann Wolf was training him. Since she's quite naturally familiar with boxing, that versus this guy who's familiar with football, in training football players, that it would have been the decision would have turned the other way, I should say. Yeah, I don't know if it would have. When in a fight like this, and this is just my opinion, in a fight like this, when you have two guys throwing haymakers at each other and bombs at each other's chin or wherever the bombs land, one of them's going down, and it's just I don't know if I'm misstepping here, but it's just the luck of the draw when one of them, wherever they lands or whoever they lands, knocks the other one down and puts him out. And Canelo just happened to hit him flush. Not that all the other punches in the first two rounds and leading up to this knockout weren't flush hits that Canelo was giving to him, but this one hit at the same time. It happened, and the thing about it, and I think it was just a series of in that round, because he had gotten knocked down with a solid, I think it was a solid right, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken the first time in the third round. Probably maybe 25 seconds before he actually got knocked out. So it's probably a residual effect of the two shots that he took that eventually knocked him out on the second one. But it could have easily gone the other way if Kirkland landed a shot that happened to hit the right button on Alvarez and he went down. I haven't seen a fight like this in a while, especially big boys standing in front of each other and actually really throwing haymaker that and landing. You know, it's the one thing to throw them and not hit flush chin shots. These guys were hitting flush shots on the chin, and
they were wrecking.
I keep on saying it because that's the true fact. When they were hitting each other, I was wincing like ooh, like, I mean, you know, anybody watches boxing and really into boxing, when you see a shot You get that. Ooh, you get. Ooh, I can't believe he took that and right. is keep on and keep on coming. So and that's usually the emotion I have when I see result I have, I should say. When I see a shot, I make that type of emotion because I say that because the fact is I'm feeling that shot. So I'm just imagine getting a hit like that and basically not flinching and just keep on coming, looking for another shot or for you to get a shot at back at the guy. So we'll have to wait and see what happens going down the road between the two fighters. I'm wishing the best for Kirkland because the fact is I think he's the type of let me put it this way. I think you may have a good point, man. I think he's the type of fighter that people don't want to fight. He's the type right. of fighter right. people do not want to fight because he's got a chin, even though he got knocked out. Up until that point, he still had a chin and kept on coming. And he's going to give you blows. He's going to be right there in front of you, regardless of what type of fighter you are. He's coming at you and throwing haymakers. And if you have a chin or no chin, you better be ready for a fight. So he's the type of fighter that nobody wants to fight because it'll be a difficult fight. And you may have a chance of getting yourself knocked out because the style of fight. And I say style make fights. And this guy's style, nobody wants to fight. I'm surprised Canelo took this guy because he was taking a hell of a chance because this guy is no joke throwing punches. I don't know about your thoughts on this. I think
you know why he took that fight. I mean, Golden Boy took that fight, man. And that's another thing I wanted to hip you to, man. Even though the Cold War is over, there's a whole lot of skirmishes and wrecks going on in the boxing community. I mean, it is crazy right now.
Is that right?
The reason why they really took this fight, they knew that this style of fight was the type of fight that was going to be the way it was. Right. They were competing against the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight. Golden Boy was. Cuz if you notice, like we told a certain former professional boxer that came on this show to try right. to straighten us out, that Golden Boy does not run Mayweather. And right. you conspicuously saw that there was no Golden Boy anywhere in the Mayweather top rank fight with Pacquiao and Mayweather. Right. They weren't there. So the reason why this fight was picked, because actually this fight, they tried to put it on for May the 2nd, but because the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight had finally got done, they pushed it back to, you know, last weekend. You know what I mean? So honestly, they were competing against Mayweather Pacquiao, and they knew that the Mayweather Pacquiao fight was going to be a tactical fight, and it was going to be all talked about. So they tried to give, you know, the people what they wanted to see in this fight. A style of fight where two sluggers come in there and wreck. And, you know, the people got what they wanted. Everybody got what they wanted with this fight. So, I mean, but back to the whole thing with the things that the skirmishing that's going on in boxing. Oscar De La Hoya has filed a $300 million lawsuit against Al Haymon, Al Haymon is the guy that's putting on the PBC series, which is bringing boxing to it's on regular TV now. It's on NBC, right. CBS, right. True TV, right. Spike,
right.
And what he's using is a law called the Muhammad Ali Law, which protects boxers from promoters and managers, which is kind of wild because De La Hoya is a promoter now, and they're citing this law. It's like really crazy. What they're trying to pinpoint Al Haymon at is he a promoter or is he a manager, because he's acting as a de facto person in boxing because he's monopolized everything. I mean, this Mayweather, that Mayweather Pacquiao fight they've made so much money on it, and they put so many sour tastes in people's mouth that people are not going to want to be paying no $50 or $60 to watch a boxing match, right? You would think that they would be upset about that. No, they're not upset about that. That's all part of the plan. They really want to get rid of the pay-per-view business model. Al Haney does. He wants to get rid of it. He I mean, because boxing is on. He got boxing on CBS, NBC, and whatnot. And dude, he's putting up his money for those fights. The networks aren't putting up any money. Yeah, he bought that time. He bought that time from those networks.
So how's he making money?
He bought. How? He's making money because he's the one that's going to be getting the money from the commercials and stuff. He's the one that's going to be getting the money from, like, the fighter, you know, when people come to see the fight and all that type of stuff, and the interest in it. I mean, he's just controlling everything, controlling every part of it.
So he gets the gate money. Is that what you're telling me?
He gets the gate money. He gets the commercial spots, like all those commercials that come on during the fights. No, that's his money. He needs that, all that, every bit of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Wow. Yeah, man. Right. So it's like, I was trying to tell that to my cousin the other day, because he was trying to say that, you know, people aren't going to pay this money for pay-per-view. So they don't want that. They want to get rid of the pay-per-view model. They want to get rid of it. They want to be out of that business. It's man, Jerry. We got to sit down and have a drink, and show you all this stuff, man. It's crazy what's going on in boxing now.
Wow. Wow. So I didn't realize that. I knew that they were running the boxing on regular TV other than pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that being an opportunity for a lot of people to see these named fighters without having to pay a pay-per-view price, whatever it may be. $50, $60, $100 like last week, and they can watch it for free. Not thinking that the guy who's putting this all together is the guy who's going to benefit from the most, because he's getting all the revenue from all this. And let me ask you something. Since he's doing that, how's that going to affect the prize money for the participants, the boxers? Is that going to lower the amount they get?
No.
Or is that still going to be the same? It's just a matter of how you watch it now.
Nah, it hasn't changed. All the boxers are clamoring to get with Al Haymon, because he's the one really paying them. He's paying them out. I give you an example. The light heavy the two light heavyweight champions, Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev. Have you heard of them?
Yes, absolutely.
Kovalev is the one that beat Bernard Hopkins, and Adonis Stevenson is the linear champion. Meaning, you know, he beat the man who beat the man who beat the man, and he's got the title.
Right.
Those two have been trying to get together a fight for a pretty long time. So right after Adonis Stevenson's fight against Bika and Kovalev's last win against Pascal, they were sitting down trying to come to terms to make a fight. Kovalev is not a Al Haymon fighter. Adonis Stevenson is a Al Haymon fighter. Well, what happened was they couldn't come to an agreement on the fight. So what they do is, you know, when they can't come to an agreement on the fight in boxing, it's standard to do what's called a purse bid, meaning whichever promoter, you know, puts up the most money gets the fight, and they get to call the shots.
Right.
Well, the promoter, which is I forgot the lady's name, the promoter for Kovalev didn't want to do that. Because she knew if she got into a purse bid with Al Haymon, that he would outprice her.
Right.
So it was really interesting because Kovalev has been chasing Adonis and Stevens around all, you know, for about 2 or 3 years, saying that he's scared and this and this and that, and they wanted to put on the fight. But once they put up the purse bid, you know, and once it went to purse bid, he didn't want to fight anymore, which essentially he's turning away from at least $10 million to make this fight.
Right.
You know, and the most he's ever made is like $5 million. So, wow. I mean, that's the impact that Al Haymon is having on the boxers. He's driving up the price. So the boxers, they just have to make a decision who they want to fight and when they want to fight them and how they want to fight them. You know what I mean? It's just that the promoters are having the damnedest time dealing with Al Haymon because, like we told a certain boxer, professional boxer on this show,
right?
They hire promoters now. That's what Al Haymon does. He hires promoters. The promoters don't come to him, as a manager, can we use your fighter? No. It's not even like that. They hire the promoters that they want to use at the time to make a fight. And if he's not, and if you don't have the boxer that he wants to use, he ain't gonna use you. He'll just sign the boxer, and the boxer will leave your promotion company, and that'll be it. The only competition to Haymon now really is Rock Nation. Of course, Top Rank. Well, the top two is Top Rank and Golden Boy, but Golden Boy done lost a lot of fighters. But Rock Nation is the only other one that's competitive, and Rock Nation only got two fighters. He got Andre Ward and Cotto.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you something. What if that's the case? Why doesn't Kovalev sign with Al Haymon and get this fight going with Adonis Stevenson?
He, some of these guys, they just loyal to their people, man. You can't,
right?
You know what I mean? They believe in sticking with the girl that they came to the dance with. They danced with the girl they came with. So, I mean, I'm not really mad at Kovalev, but he need to go ahead and stop that talk about how he want to fight Adonis Stevenson.
Well,
that was a bad move.
Yeah, if he wants to fight him so bad, and he's going to make twice as much as his highest paying fight, it would only make sense to push the fact that I want to fight, and not say that I'm Adonis Stevenson is running from me. The fact is Adonis Stevens is with Al Haymon, you want to fight, then you got to make a choice on whether you want to stay with your current promoter, or do you want to go where the money is and make a fight and get to the fight that you want to get to and get paid?
And it's a lot of jockeying for position. Like it's kind of like how the Mayweather-Pacquiao thing went down. You know, that Pacquiao and them were under some delusion that they were the A side. They were
exactly
the A side of the negotiation.
Exactly.
And that is the problem. That's the problem. Everybody, 9 times out of 10, Al Haymon is going to have the A side fighter, or he's going to have the money. And that's the position he's put the promoters in. If you got the A side fighter, then I got the money. If I have the A side fighter and you got to be somebody, you're gonna have to do what I say do anyway. Unless you're gonna come up with more money than me. That's basically what he's doing. That's
right.
Basically what he's saying. And Kovalev, I don't understand. I mean, he's not the A side. I mean, he has, don't get me wrong, he's been knocking dudes out. He knocked out Bernard Hopkins. He knocked out Pascal. I mean, he cleaned out that division, but he's not the A side. Adonis Stevenson is the A side. He's been champion longer.
Yeah. So I mean, I got a real problem with these guys. Not saying that they're real good fighters, but you got to come to the realization, if you're the champ, just like Mayweather with the Pacquiao and all the time it took to get that fight. And the one you just told me about, Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev, who's the little dog at the feet of Adonis Stevenson. I'm just giving an analogy here, nipping at his ankles and talking, saying, you're afraid, you're running from me. Got to understand that if you're the champion, if you're the A side of this record, then you got to, in order to get the fight that, in parentheses, that you really want, and the fight for the title that you really want, you can't come at it like you the A personality in this. You got to come at it like, well, I'm going to take a lesser role because I really want this fight. I'm going to get paid, and I'm going to show that I'm really the true champion. Versus saying, I want money like I'm a true champion, and we're on equal terms. It doesn't work that way, and it's never worked that way in boxing. So I don't know why a lot of people that are the non-champion or the contender, so to speak, think they deserve that when they haven't achieved it. So it is what it is, and it bears out like last week when you could it was apparent to a lot of people, and we had a hell of a conversation yesterday. I wish we had jumped on yesterday because we had a few people, and your cousin was in denial.
No, I didn't call in yesterday on purpose because I got him Thursday. I saw him Thursday on his show and picked him down, and he was dancing in denial, and I just couldn't take no more. I didn't want to deal with it. That's why I called you today too.
I understand. And they're in denial about a fight that was obvious who the A personality is, who was the A side of that record versus the B side of the record. And the fans of the B side of that record still believe they were the A side, and trying to find kinks in the way that fight went off last week. And give me a break. You lost. Then your man tried to say that he thought he won the fight. Then the man said that I was hurt. Then now it's a lawsuit, and people are still trying to make excuses for Pacquiao and saying that Floyd danced all over the place, which is wrong. And if you look at the statistics, the percentage of punches land and the amount of punches that were landed, it's telling you that it was an active fight. It just wasn't the type of fight that thought you were going to see, just like this fight that you saw last night. What's your thoughts on that?
Hey man, I told my delusional cousin Thursday night in the overtime, because he wouldn't let me get him on air. You know that, right? He wouldn't let me get him on air.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
But like I told him, you know, the first thing you learn in boxing is fundamental is to cut off the ring. Right. Manny Pacquiao has never cut off the ring properly, ever. I've never seen it. I have never seen him do it. You know what I mean? So to say Floyd was running, you going to say he was running, but they were saying a week before the fight that he lost his legs. You know, he's not as fast as he used to be. They were saying that Pacquiao was faster than him and this and this and that. I didn't see that. I saw Floyd fastening him. I saw Floyd timing him. I saw Floyd doing everything that I thought he was going to do. And I saw Floyd trying to get that knockout. But he was doing it smart. He was waiting for him to come in the way he came in on Marquez, and he was trying to land that right hand.
Right.
And Pacquiao saw that, and he stopped. That was just it. That was the end of the fight. Now, Pacquiao caught him like three or four times or whatever, but that was it. Other than that jab was in his face. But these people are just delusional, man. And it's a product. You know what it's a product of? It's a product of everybody everybody coddling everybody. It really is. Instead of like, you know, there's a time that, you know, you got to coddle people, you know, and you don't have to be so rough with them. But it's a time that you got to tell them straight up, yo, you suck. You suck. You failed. You need to do better.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy, man. It's just delusional. Real delusional, man. And then if you had heard him on that Joan Thursday night, Slim, he kept pushing the goalposts back and trying to kept trying to parse his words to make it the way he wanted to make it. And I'm just like, this boy is delusional. This boy is delusional. Delusional.
You know, the problem I have, and with a lot of Pacquiao fans saying that, and this is a thing that they say, that Floyd said he's the best ever, best of all time. And their argument is, if he was the best of all time, why did he knock him out? If he was the best of all time, why did he give him a dominant performance? Well, he did really, in my opinion, he gave him a dominant performance. But this is not Ali Frazier. This is not Ali Holmes or Ali Foreman. This is a different type of fight. And I keep on saying the same thing, style make fights. And you weren't going to get a bunch of punches from both guys and throwing haymakers and all kinds of other good action that a lot of boxing fans were expecting because of the hype. You were going to get the type of fight that you got because the fact is Floyd is a great defensive fighter and will take his shots and when it needed. And he said it himself. The object is not to get hit when you're fighting. The object is not to get hit and hit. So if you're in a boxing ring, you're trying to avoid getting hit. That doesn't mean you're running, but you're being as best on the defense as you possibly can, and you take your shots out of your opponent when the opportunity arises. So some people take a lot of shots to give shots. Floyd's not one of them. And Pacquiao is, I watched the fight, the good thing about it, they played the fight before the Canelo Alvarez and James Kirkland fight. They played the Pacquiao Mayweather fight before that because the other, undercard got canceled. So they played that fight. And I watched that fight from start to finish again. And I'm saying to myself, Did Floyd run?
I didn't see Floyd run.
Where was it? He not engaged into this fight. I don't understand what people were talking about. I really, and the Pacquiao, these fans of Pacquiao making excuses that it wasn't a good fight. It wasn't a good fight because your boy didn't win. That's the bottom line.
And they don't know when they got sold a bill of goods.
Right.
And these are two other things I hit my cousin with, because I had to throw the kitchen sink at him, you know, Thursday.
Right.
I said to him, you know, because that TBE thing came up. Now, while I don't agree with Floyd, right, I don't. But
right.
I'm not going to discredit the argument. I'm not. Right. Because, right. You know, looking at the sheer boxing, he's a better boxer than Muhammad Ali. He really is. Because Muhammad Ali took way too many punches that he did not have to take.
You're right.
Just to, you know, but and I kind of look at it like this from with my heart. Absolutely. Muhammad Ali is the greatest, probably the greatest human being and greatest boxer person I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
That's a hard thing to go up against for Floyd. But in my mind, looking at the boxing, Slim, it's a no-brainer. It's Floyd. It really is. I mean, because, like, I mean, this whole thing about how cocky Mayweather is. I remember a dude that used to rap before rap was, you know, popular, mind you, would rap and say how ugly you were and that you were going down in three because you can't see me. All that kind of stuff. Real cocky. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm pretty. You ugly. I'm going to beat you. All that. That was humongously cocky. And then right. To top it off, the Bama changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali and said, look, you're not going to call me Cassius. You're going to call me Muhammad Slim. Slim. In those times, nah, man. That dude was beyond cocky. He beyond loved himself, and I loved it. I loved it. So Floyd is not the human being that Muhammad Ali is. He's not. You know, he's not. But you cannot discredit anything that he's done in the ring and anything that he's done business-wise. And like I told my cousin, you saw Floyd Mayweather beat someone that Muhammad Ali couldn't beat. And that was Bob Arum. Bob Arum, John King, and all those other dudes screwed him over. They screwed him over royally. You know what I'm saying? Right. Mayweather beat one of those dudes. He beat Bob Arum. And he never dealt with Don King. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, you know, it's always going to be Muhammad Ali with my heart. It always is. But my mind, nah, it's going to be Floyd. You're not going to see Floyd walking around with the slurred speech and stuff like that. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see Floyd go broke in the next year, next 5-10 years or whatever. But I place a wager to tell you that you'll see that from Pacquiao. Pacquiao, the one with the tax evasion issues. Pacquiao looks like he can't even talk now. So, I mean, you know, it's just wild, man. It's just wild.
Okay. Well, there's another one. Let's move on from boxing. And I want to talk about the truth, be it as is told. Yesterday, the Washington Wizards, playing at home, were up against the best record, or second best record, I should say, the best record in the Eastern Conference in basketball, with a series tied at 1-1. And the game on the line at home with the truth be told with the ball. And we know who the truth is. And we saw that in the previous night that the Derrick Rose last second shot to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Chicago. Well, deja vu all over again, the truth with the game on the line. And he's been doing this year in and year out. And it's ironic that these guys, big time players, make big time plays at big times. Well, the truth, meaning Paul Pierce, pulled off another Derrick Rose, so to speak, and locking down the second win in his playoff series between the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards, banking a 3-point shot to take. To win the game for the Washington Wizards and put them up 2-1 in the series in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs. What's your thoughts on that, man? I know you're a Wizards fan, so what's your thoughts on that?
Man, Paul Pierce is the truth, man.
Yes, sir.
I like what he said. Did you see him after the game?
He said he called game.
That's right. That's right. My man said, did you call glass? He said, nah, I called game. I was like, yeah. He had me sized up. And right. Then the night before, man, that was so beautiful that Derrick Rose did. And I like how he did that face, man. He did that face. It looked like, you know who he looked like he was looking at, Slim? To me, you know, he looked like he was looking over there at LeBron.
Right.
Oh, my. That was beautiful, man. Beautiful.
So let me ask you something, man. Now that the Washington Wizards are up and they have a second game, I think it's going to be played I think maybe tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. Oh, I'm not exactly sure when it is, but the next game is going to be played again in Washington. I imagine it's still going to be a relatively close game. What's your thoughts on the where this series is going? The Washington's up right now 2-1. What's your thoughts on where this series is going? You think Washington's got a shot here? Even though John Wall got issues with his hand and wrist that he may not play for the rest of the series because the displaced fractures in both?
Oh man, that's a devastating loss for the Wizards for John Wall, because he just does so much for them. The Wizards really showed me they had heart that last game, but I just don't know, man. I don't know. You know, it's gonna be real compelling to watch. They got a gang of heart, and they didn't. You know, while all of this didn't show in the latter part of the season for the Wizards, you know, now it's showing up. You know, the lights is on. It's time for the big time to come out, and they coming out swinging, man. And you can't ask for anything other than that from them, man. You can't ask for more than that. And I just don't know, man. I just don't know. I really don't know. If they win this joint, I mean, that would be beautiful, and get to the Eastern Conference Final. That would be beautiful. I don't see them getting into, you know, I don't see them getting into the NBA Finals without Wall, man. They need that brother. They need him, and he done for the year with that hand, man. That's it for him.
Yeah. So, and what's your thoughts on Chicago? Chicago playing the fourth game in Chicago, up 2-1. I like their chances, man. I really like their chances. No Kevin Love in Cleveland, and you got a healthy Derrick Rose getting better each game that goes by, and more confident, and a team more confident with Derrick Rose and them playing together against LeBron. What's your thoughts, man? I gotta believe. I know LeBron is a hell of a player, but I think Chicago, the type of defense and type of offense they can generate, especially with Derrick Rose healthy, it's got a real good shot of taking it and pushing themselves to the Eastern Conference Finals. What's your thoughts on them?
Look, man, it's no secret. I did not like when LeBron left Miami and went to Cleveland. I ain't like that, man. I ain't like that at all. Okay. So I want to see him go down. I really want to see him go down, and I really like Chicago's chances. I didn't believe at first, you know what I'm saying, with Derrick Rose being, you know, 50-50, you know what I'm saying, but Young's heart's in it, his mind in it. I like their chances, man, and I hope they send him down, and I hope they put him down in flames, man. I'm hoping that Chicago do it. I really like Derrick Rose. I think Youngin is nice or whatever. But, you know, he's been iffy every time he get hurt or whatever. But he really showed that, you know, he's willing to step up to the bell and do what he need to do. I like Chicago in this series. That's what I'm going for.
All right. And last night, and it's probably a shocker to a lot of Golden State Warrior fans, but the best defensive team in the NBA this year, and they've been one of the top five defensive teams for the last two or three, the Memphis Grizzlies, and they held the high scoring, and this is a team that was the highest scoring team in the NBA, in the Golden State Warriors. They held them to 89 points and beat them by 10 points in Memphis. Now they're up 2-1, and there's the game four is probably going to be played in the next few days. I don't know exactly what day it is. And this is a must-win for Golden State. What's your thoughts? Golden State's back against the wall, basically, because if they don't win this, I don't think, especially against one of this best defensive team, I don't think they're going to be able to have a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals. What's your thoughts on Golden State getting their asses kicked by Memphis moving forward?
Hey, man, a good defense beats a good offense all the time. Defense wins championships, man. That's just the way it is. You know, it's kind of kind of feel bad because, you know, Golden State is, you know, they're a good mob, man. They got a good team. And they have a coach who gets what I just said. You know, right. he gets that. So it's going to be compelling to see what he draws up to come back, counter or whatever. But I was really surprised that that Memphis was able to do that to Golden State. And you know the phrase. Let me see them do it again before I believe they're gonna have to do it again and again until they put these boys out. These boys ain't gonna go away. Golden State, they're not gonna go away. They're not gonna go away. Absolutely not. They're not going anywhere. They're not going away. They're gonna keep chipping at it. And oh man, I just don't know about that. That's a good series, man.
Yeah,
that's a good series. You know, I like that. I really love that kid. You know, we went on and on about those two boys last year.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching that.
I hear you. Same here. All right, my man. We're about to get out of here. I got to spend the day with my wife and enjoy the Mother's Day with her. You got anything to say before we head out here and enjoy the rest of this good day?
Just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, and to the delusional people, it's okay. We all love you. We love you. We really do. But you got to understand that, you know, the world is not what you think it is. You know, you just got to calm down and look around. That's all I'm going to say.
With that being said, I go along with exactly what you said. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Enjoy the rest of this fine day and take care of your mothers or your wives or whoever is your foundation of your family. And I'm just going to drop the mic. I'm out of here. See ya.